Welcome to the Wise Life Podcast. My name's Dina Morris and I'm a yoga teacher and hypnotherapist here to help you get the best out of life, sharing tools, tips and tactics for powerful aging with wisdom and joy. Good morning. This week's episode of The Wise Life is for anyone who's ever wanted to change their life but has got stuck in overwhelm and analysis paralysis. And it's brought to you by the law of attraction, serendipity, and the power of two action hero goddesses from the myths of yoga, Durga and Kali. But first, a shout out for one of my yoga clients, Ali, who's been taking action and acing her goals and messaged me this week to let me know how much stronger she's feeling, focusing on the steps she needs to take now. So congratulations, Ali. Right, so let's get started with serendipity. Always sounded like one of those wood nymphs from antiquity, I always think. Serendipity. Fluffing about with the three graces, floaty long dress, garland of flowers in her hair, skipping about in the woods, avoiding satyrs and those Greek gods who are forever on the prowl. Serendipity means the occurrence and the developments of events by chance in a happy or beneficial way. And I'm going to tell you where the word comes from because I'm a word nerd and I think it's a fun story. The word was actually invented in the 18th century by a chap called Horace Walpole. Horace Walpole was the son of our first Prime Minister and the creator of the first Gothic novel. Renowned in the 18th century as a socialite and all-round creative force in the arts, Horace had recognised in himself a talent for finding what he needed just when he needed it. For example, his cousin, also called Horace, just to confuse things a bit, sent him a portrait of a Grand Duchess who Walpole had long admired. And when it arrived from his cousin from Florence, Walpole decided he needed to create the beautiful, perfect frame for it. Yeah, I know, but IKEA hadn't been invented then. So Walpole spent some time looking for the perfect frame. And he decided he wanted to decorate it with specific elements, which he accidentally found when he was looking for an old book. Absolutely delighted, positively cock-a-hoop with the coincidence, he wrote to his cousin, also called Horace, giving a name to his ability to find things unexpectedly. Serendipity. And where did he pluck this name from? Well, he got it from a fairy tale called The Travels and the Adventures of the Three Princes of Serendip. And Serendip is a classical Persian name for Sri Lanka. The king in this fable had recognized that education requires more from learning from books. And he'd sent his sons out of the country to broaden their experience of the word, of the world. Throughout the story, the clever princes carefully observe their surroundings and then they use their observations in ways that help them cheat death and dangers. For Walpole, serendipity meant finding something by an informed observation, sagacity as he called it, and by accident. Today, serendipity currently has two meanings. Looking for something and then finding something even better, or looking for something and finding just what you needed. Drug companies have an amazing track record on doing exactly this. You'll know, I'm sure, that various amazingly useful drugs have been discovered quite by accident. Penicillin, for a start, but also Viagra was originally going to be an anti-angina drug. It was only when their male subjects reported increase in prolonged erections that the creators discovered it had other possibilities. And of course, it's since become one of the best-selling drugs of all time. Whether you were the researchers working on Viagra or Alexander Fleming, you had to be open to the possibility of what you were looking for coming to you in an unexpected way. And what Fleming and the Viagra researchers have both done was detach from the outcome that they were looking for. What they did was take action and then observe what had been presented to them. The law of attraction could also apply to the Viagra test team, I guess, in that they were open to novel ways of using the drug that they hadn't anticipated. If they closed their ears to the feedback, they would have missed out. We don't always get what we want in the form we expect, but that doesn't mean that it's not a blessing and we haven't attracted what we were looking for. Because the law of attraction is the belief that like attracts like. In the same way, in the case of serendipity, the thought of a needed something somehow helps to bring that something into your life. But it's not enough to imagine what you want or need. You have to move. You have to take action. A friend of mine claims to have manifested exactly what she was looking for after a desperate search on the internet failed to help her. This desire driving the story is only going to make sense if you are a stationery lover. If, like my friend, you describe the moment of starting a new notebook as dreamy, then this story is going to make perfect sense. If stationery doesn't float your boat, just imagine something that you really, really want, but you're in the middle of a pandemic and trying to get one is impossible because you can't leave the house. So let's call my friend Lucy, because she's super shy and would be mortified that I'm sharing her geekiness with you. Lucy loves notebooks almost as much as I do. She, like me, loves the notebooks with that little envelope flap at the back where you can stash notes, receipts, letters. And I have dozens of black ones, but Lucy's a design queen and she's got to have the perfect colour. Not just any colour, a particular colour. She's also super cool, so it's got to be urban and subtle, non-garish. And even though she's been given branded ones by companies at Christmas, who know she really likes these notebooks but have taken the trouble to stamp their logo on the front, she won't use one. She wants one that is absolutely pristine and just what she wants. So Lucy was in the run-up to Christmas, and as you'll remember, none of us were going anywhere. We weren't going shopping, we were locked down, and Lucy certainly was where she was living. So she started scouring the internet and looking for the notebook of her choice. And of course, the notebook of her choice also has a date stamp in the corner because she likes to put her notes against the day that it happens to be. She couldn't find one anywhere. She knew that they would be as rare as hen's teeth because she'd left it since December and January was coming up. So she looked and looked and looked and realised that she wasn't going to get one by January. So she gave up the search, pottered about in her bedroom, started going through some cupboards just to see what she could find. And lo and behold, the perfect notebook in the perfect colour without anybody's logo on the front, fell out of a cupboard and landed on her head. So I think I manifested that notebook, Lucy says half jokingly. And she claims that she has absolutely no recollection of ever buying it. Now, I'm not suggesting that the law of attraction has the ability to send notebooks through time and space and make them materialise in cupboards only to smack you literally on the top of the head of it when you can't find it on the internet or anywhere else. But what Lucy certainly did there was take massive action. She looked everywhere she could think. The story, seek and you will find, is absolutely true. There isn't a little phrase that says, sit on your ass and wish and you will find. Serendipity relies on our human capacity to find our way to people, ideas, or things that provide us with what we have been seeking. But fundamentally, it's about taking action. The yoga myths are full of stories of massive action and what happens when you don't take action. So let's pick up on that story of Durga and Kali, the queens of massive action. Now, I'm just going to mention here that there are many variations on these stories from different parts of India. So if mine doesn't match yours, don't be surprised. And I'm going to paraphrase massively because this is an epic tale and it deserves plenty of time. But this is part of something else, isn't it? And you want me to get to the point, which is what I'm going to do. So the world was in chaos. It was in chaos because the gods had foolishly given these demons eternal life. And things were getting out of balance and the gods didn't really know what to do until they realized, because some wise sage just popped the idea into their ear, that what they'd agreed to and what they'd promised was that the demons had eternal life in that they couldn't be killed by gods. But it didn't mean that they couldn't be killed by a goddess. So they thought about who might be the right person for this, and it was Durga. Durga is a goddess with eight arms, and although she was sitting in meditation, focusing on everything that was important in her realm, she realized when the gods came to see her to ask for help that, you know, you can't be sat there meditating when everything's about to fall apart, including your mountain. So off she goes, riding on her tiger, because that's how she rolls, Durga. She travels by tiger, sometimes by a lion, but yeah, you know, no walking, no Batmobile. She's got a big tiger. So she's riding her tiger, going along to see these demons, armed with a whole array of weapons that she might need for an occasion like this. She arrives at the castle and she tells the guards that she wants to marry the demon king, which is a bit of a shock to them because he's not the kind of person that an apparently very attractive young woman might be interested in. But she says that she can't marry anyone until she's fought them. And it's just something that she agreed with her father. So if the demon king would like to come down and challenge her, you know, she'd like to just show him her moves. Of course, this causes amusement, followed by horror at the thought that she's seriously up for this. So they go off to tell the king, and the king sends some people for Durga to fight with, thinking this is crazy, but, you know, let's indulge this princess, and when she's the size of mincemeat, everything will be nice and quiet outside my castle again, or something to that effect. Of course, Durga, she is an ace warrior queen. She fights her way through demon after demon after demon, and it goes on and on and on. She is amazing in her ability to fight. However, this demon king has the ability to recreate himself. Every time his blood falls onto the ground, he just pops up again. Bit like, do you remember Jason and the Argonauts? And Jason goes and fights those skeletons. If you are of a certain age, you will remember that film. And the skeletons just keep popping up and popping up and popping up. Similar scenario. Interesting how these stories recreate themselves in different myth systems. Fascinating, but another story for another day. So, where were we? Oh yes, Durga, taking massive action, fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, and yet she cannot kill the demon horde because of this blood recreating demons scenario. So she thinks, what can I do? What can I do? And so intense is she in her thoughts while still wielding those weapons that the power of her concentration focusing from her third eye space creates the goddess Kali. And Kali is so intense in her ability to take action. She is unreal. She bursts forth from the third eye center, and she starts fighting alongside Durga, but she can do something that Durga had not considered. She has a huge tongue. And if you've seen pictures of Kali in all her fierceness, her tongue is generally out. And that's because she drank all the blood of the demons. And of course, without the blood falling down onto the floor, they couldn't recreate themselves. Problem solved. Fighting stopped. However, Kali, she is the epitome of massive action, and her ability to take action can get massively out of control. She can't stop. She's in this sort of whirl of fury and movement and pulling things down and smashing things up and stomping on mountains and pulling down stars, to the fact that the very fabric of the universe can start to come apart, which is when Shiva, who is the god of stillness and inertia, comes to calm things down and literally throws himself underneath Kali to bring everything back to balance. So what this story tells us is, yes, you need to take massive action, but there also needs to be balance. So your inertia, there is nothing wrong with it. Planning is a marvelous thing, but it requires action in order for it to become real, to manifest. And similarly, if you go charging off without a plan, things can start to fall apart a little bit, just like Kali's let's just smash everything up. Action without calm, driven direction is chaotic. Inertia without action, nothing happens. There's a time and a place for navel gazing, but it requires balance. And that's the dance of Kali and Shiva, the quest for balance. Yes, balance, the point where action is dynamic but not out of control, and where there is laser focus but everything does not grind to a halt. So why are the laws of attraction so attractive to us? Well, we love patterns. We're attracted to magic, and there appears to be something magical about serendipity, doesn't there? It kind of charms us. Really, what's going on is probability. And there's a big difference between magical coincidence and just standard probability. For example, you only need 23 people in a room with you to get a 50-50 chance of sharing a birthday with someone. But you would think that it would be extraordinary to meet somebody with the same birthday as you, wouldn't you? Well, that's according to Joseph Mazur, who wrote Fluke, The Maths and Myth of Coincidence. And if you've seen the film Serendipity, you'll know the female lead, Kate Beckinsale, loses the lovely John Cusack's phone number and decides to write her name and number in a book and then put it in a second-hand shop. You'd think the chances of finding him must be enormous like that, yeah? Like winning the lottery. Nowhere near. According to an article I read reviewing Madure's book, a Canadian author once discovered a copy of a book she'd owned as a child in a Parisian bookshop. Mazur, who is a bit of a whiz with maths, worked out that the probability is less than 4,000 to 1. Steep odds, but not a miracle. Whichever way you prefer to look at it, serendipity or the law of attraction are actually quite ordinary. They just require you to take some action. We see magic because we enjoy being charmed by it. But really, it's just you making a move. Now, if you're still listening to this podcast, then you were probably drawn in by the idea of freeing yourself from analysis paralysis, in which case the idea of taking action like Kali and Durga might be way beyond your imagination right now. But you can see that it's possible to do it without burning out, without pulling down the universe. It's not what you need to do. You need to look for balance, that sweet spot. But how do you, procrastination queen, let go of the outcome? What you do is take your attention to the action that you need to do to take you there, over and over, step by step. You take your eye off the prize and you think about the first step that you need to take. And then you take that one. And at first, it will feel really uncomfortable. But the more pressure you put on the outcome, the harder it's going to be to take that action. Instead, bring your attention to the action and enjoy that. A few weeks ago, I interviewed a lovely lawyer on the podcast who's been exploring some pretty full-on postures, some really powerful balances, and her pursuit of postures which take as much strength and dexterity as a handstand. It's not about just throwing herself at the wall. She doesn't do that. What she does is focuses on her drills and she starts with those. They are the foundation stones, the little steps that she needs to take in order to get her to where that she wants to be. And she's not attached to the handstand. She thinks it's an interesting toy and a game and it will be fun, but it's the drills that she takes her focus to. And the drills aren't easy, but she doesn't let that stop her. One of my hypnotherapy clients who wanted the full midlife package told me flatly, "I want what you have," which is touching, but I had to gently explain before we started why I could help her free herself from poor parenting and help her build her confidence, but what I couldn't do was take her back in time to start saving in the way I had when I thought I probably needed to remodel my life. Resigning from my job was a white knuckle ride when I took that step, you know, full on emotion. But it was a choice for me because I'd recognized several years previously that it wasn't working for me. And while I took my yoga teacher training course and the foundation year that went before that, I was saving like a demon. I took action in the present to manifest the future. And yeah, saving money felt a bit dull at times, but step by step, £50 a month, you'll be amazed how that adds up over years. You sit down and you decide what you want and you take the first step towards your goal and what it might be. And then you take another. That might be getting professional help. That might be taking action solo and evaluating whether each step you take works for you. And if it does, fabulous. Take another step. And if it doesn't, let it go and try something else. There are no fails. There really aren't. There are just things that didn't work, and let's try something else experiments. If you did your best and it didn't work for you, then you try something else. There's no emotional attachment. You're just experimenting. It's not a judgment of you. What works for one person doesn't work for another. You are unique. What works for you works for you. Your goal is to find it. Now, how you free yourself from the emotion of attachment, well, that's going to be for the second part of this podcast, which will be coming up very shortly. And it comes with a clever exercise that I teach to all my clients to help them free themselves from emotional attachment. So I'll catch you soon with that. Have a wonderful day. And here we are at the end of another edition of the Wise Life podcast. If you found this content useful, I would be very grateful if you could support this podcast by giving me a 5-star rating. And if you've got the time, a review would be amazing. And please, if you have suggestions for podcast topics, I'd love to hear them. Just DM me on Instagram @dina.morris and have a great week.